The Bible is the Word of God, God's message to the Word, to the world. God's message to the world. Now, it has the power to transform our lives if we let it. You see, God uses the Bible, His Word, to transform us, to change us, to train us, and to equip us to be the men and women that we need to become in this generation to reach out the lost. Now, there are a lot of people, perhaps, that they hear the Word of God day after day, you know, for years, they've been hearing what the Bible says, but still they don't experience any changes or transformation in their lives. Now, have you ever wondered why that is? You know, people might have gone to church, and they probably, like me, they were raised in the church at a young age. And year after year, week after week, they hear what the Bible says by somebody preaching it or proclaiming it to you, but there's no transformation in that person, even though they've been hearing it for so long. Have you ever wondered why that is? I mean, as a preacher of the gospel, I always wonder, because sometimes, you know, we want people to grow, and why is it that sometimes, you know, we hear and listen to the Word of God proclaim, and we don't see any sign of growth? Have you ever wondered why that is? The answer to this question that I'm posting right now is found in Luke 8. Jesus talks about that, and it's interesting because there you see Jesus is portraying how people responded to him when he went out from town to town, village to village, proclaiming the gospel. And you know, the same response people gave Jesus to nearly 2,000 years ago, it is exactly the same response we get when we announce the good news of the kingdom of God today. If you got your Bibles, we're going to spend some time in Luke chapter 8. A very famous passage for a lot of people is the parable of the sower, or soils, we're going to talk about this morning. You see, when we announce the Word of God, when we preach it, when you hear somebody talking or even reading the Bible, people respond differently. And you see, this is what Jesus talks about in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8, verses 1 through 15. We're going to spend some time there. And I just want to read it for you from the NIV. He says, after this, Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out. Joanna, the wife of Cusa, the manager of Herod's household. Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. While a large crowd was gathering, the people were coming to Jesus from town after town. He told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed, and as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and it was trampled on, and the birds of the air ate it up. Some fell on rock, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. When he had said this, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Let me pause right now, and then we read the remaining part later on. Jesus began to teach the crowd in parables. I mean, most of Jesus' teaching took place via this thing that we call a parable. A parable is really what it is. It's a story, a short story, with a moral or spiritual meaning. And he used a lot of parable. And so here in the text, we're going to find out why he did it that way. Why parable was the means by which Jesus taught the crowd. So you see, the crowd gathered, and then he began to teach them in parable. So we have the story here. We have a farmer, or some translation would call him the sower. There's a seed, and there are 4 different types of soil. It says there's the path that was trampled on and eaten by the birds. There's the rocky soil that plants wither due to lack of moisture, according to verse 6. The thorny soil, and also the good soil, which produced fruit. And then he called out the people, says, whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. Now, it's an interesting expression because you see that in Revelation also. This Revelation 2 and 3, Jesus is writing a letter to seven churches, and every seven times he said that phrase, whoever has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches, and he used that. Now, when you hear that expression in the Bible, what he's really doing is calling people attention. It's like saying, listen up, people, what I'm about to tell you. Like, whoever has ear to hear, let him hear what I'm about to say. You see, there's a difference in having ears and having ears to hear. You know what I'm talking about? You know how it is. Like some of us who've been married, when the wife said to you, you're not listening to me. You're hearing everything she says. But at that moment, you truly, truly, being honest, you're not listening. You have ears. You hear a lot of things going on. But at that moment, you know, you don't have ears to hear what she's saying. So Jesus said, whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. Those who let the word of God pass through. I mean, this what I'm talking about. Sometimes people hear a lot about preaching and teaching. And, you know, today we are bombarded with so many ways that we can just hear the word of God through social media and everything. We hear it, but I think what happens a lot of times is that we hear it on this ear and the thing just comes out the other one. Like, we don't really pay attention. We have not learned to hear with our heart. We hear more just what he says, but we don't, you know, nothing, there's no change to what we hear. Jesus calls the crowd, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear what I'm about to say. You see, in this parable, Jesus is going to separate people that really care about the spiritual from those who did not really care. Now, verse 9, his disciples asked him what this parable meant. And then he said, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that though seeing, they may not see, though hearing, they may not hear. And then from that moment on, he goes on to tell them the meaning of the parable. You see, Jesus, why did Jesus speak in parable? That would be the question. The question, Jesus spoke in parables because he's separating people who care about the spiritual from those whose spiritual matters for them did not matter. Jesus is making a separation between people who really care about the spiritual from those who did not care at all. And you see, every parable, check this out, in the gospel, any gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus is talking about a parable. Check this out. You can do a test. Who are those ones who come to Jesus to find out what's the meaning? I mean, why are you telling us a story? The disciples. So most people just like, okay, yeah, there's a parable of farmers, seeds, and soils, whatever. And so, you see, he said, I'm speaking in parable because people see, but they're not perceiving. They can hear, but yet they don't understand, because some of them hear, but they don't seek to understand why they hear. Are you following me? You know what I mean? Like, sometimes that's the case. You know, in the audience of Jesus, Jesus is talking about, this is what's going on with my audience in the first century Palestine, Israel. We were just told he was going from village to village proclaiming the gospel and telling people about the kingdom of God. And this is exactly the audience that he was talking to. Guess what? The audience has not changed much in terms of hearing the word of God. So he's separating people who really care, who really were seeking him out, from those who were just there for the show. You know, perhaps different motive for being. I mean, there were people following Jesus because they wanted to see him do a miracle. They heard so many things about Jesus. There were some following him because they wanted to see. Maybe we got bread and wine at the end of the service. And that was the case. And, you know, and some people like, well, I heard that he healed somebody. I want to see what he's going to do next. But there were some who were following him because they saw him as the Lord and Savior. You see, there's a distinction in how people follow Jesus. And here we see that he's separating people based on how they heard the proclamation of the gospel. Whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. So the disciples are the ones. You see, notice, they came to Jesus and said, what's the meaning of the parable? And then he said, to you, the secrets of the kingdom of God is being revealed. But to those, I speak in parables, though they see, seeing, they may not see, though hearing, they may not understand. That's a direct quote from Isaiah. Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah in the Old Testament, when he was preaching, the same audience that he preached way before Jesus, 700 years before Jesus, it was the same. People reacted the same way to Isaiah. They reacted the same way to Jesus, and they will react the same way when we proclaim the gospel too. They might hear, but not understand, not perceive. Jesus goes on to tell them the meaning of the parable. So another thing too, when you read a parable, keep on reading, because eventually the meaning of that parable will be revealed. There's no parable in the Bible that is just out there, like a story, like you have no meaning. Jesus always brings up, and he uses, again, a short story, you know, just any story that he just, it can be a story made up, but it has a moral, it has a spiritual meaning attached to it. And here it is. This is what that parable of the sower means. When we pick it up in verses 11 through 13, he said, this is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they do not believe and be saved. Those on the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures. They do not mature, but the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a harvest, a crop. So here Jesus goes on now to explain really the meaning of the parable. The path, heart, soil. Then he says, they hear, but the devil takes away what they hear. So they don't even get to believe. They don't even get to receive. It's just that they heard. We know the Bible says faith comes from hearing. Hearing is important, but if all you do is hearing and not acting upon what you hear, you're not going to experience any changes. You see, the devil takes away what... So the devil is represented here in the parable by the birds of the air. They come and take away the seed that's been planted or scattered. So Satan has many ways that he can take away God's word from you and from me. He lies, he uses lies, he uses deception, he uses doubt. And he ultimately, the greatest weapon of Satan is this, distraction. So he will use that so that you don't hear, you don't get to really pay attention to what it is you're hearing. So that's represented in the path. Those who hear, but the devil takes away the word, so they don't get to believe and be saved, Jesus talks about. Then he goes on to talk about the rocky soil. Are those who hear and receive with joy. At the beginning, you know people like that in churches. I've seen it my whole life. People that for a while, they receive the word. They hear the word. They receive it with joy. But it's only until they get something bad happens to them in their lives. And then they fall away. So he says, this is the rocky soil because, you know, they don't have a lot of deep roots. You know, the ultimate plan of God is that our roots become deep. You know, we're grounded deeper into his word. So they fall away. So Christians that, you know, they're going to follow Jesus as long as things go well in their lives. And then when bad things happen, which we know will happen, you know, Christians, we're not exempt from bad things happening to us. So we follow Jesus as long as things go well with me. You know, it's almost like Jesus is going to be like my genie in a bottle. Like, just do what I want, Jesus. And, you know, a lot of people think that that's following Jesus. So you see, this is the rocky soil. They hear, they believe for a while until, he says, until the time of testing, until the time of adversity. Christians, we know that the Bible says the testing of your faith, that's what's going to develop spiritual muscles. It's going to develop into perseverance. You're not tested. You don't know how strong your faith is. But these people, you see, because it was almost like an artificial response. I hear, I believe, I receive it, but I'm there for so long as things go well in my life. That's a rocky soil for you. Now, the thorny soil, they hear, they receive the word with joy also. But it says that they get the development of God's word in their lives get choked by the worries of life. You know how many Christians, how many of you worry all the time? Even though Jesus said, do not worry about your life. I just got rear-ended today. And I still did a Bible study and I'm still preaching here. That's what happened. And I'm not going to let Satan dictate, like, I'm not going to change my mood because that happened. You know, but how many of us Christians, like, we really know how to worry. And Jesus said it, he said, when you worry, you're not showing that you trust me. You're not showing that you have faith. So you see, the thorny soil, thorns are those things, like he calls it, worries of life, riches, the pursuit of riches, the pursuit of pleasures in this life. So what's going on with the thorny soil is that the word of God is growing, but we also let all the thorns grow with it. And pretty soon the thorns are going to be more powerful and sort of wrapped around the word and choke the development, and then we will never be mature Christians. That's the only problem with the thorny, is that we don't get to mature. How many people in churches, they've been hearing the word day after day. You were born in the church. You were raised in the church. But there's no sign of maturity in you because perhaps you have thorns around you. Perhaps you still have rocks that the Lord has to come and dig out so that you can be planted deep. You see, Jesus is calling the audience to self-examine ourselves. That's why sometimes we don't grow. Because, you know, we let other things develop with the word of God, and they just, you know, the word of God cannot develop because we got thorns. We worry too much about life, and we worry too much about this or that or whatever, and then we pursue pleasure, we pursue riches, we want to be rich. You even see Christians evangelists, that's all they care about. They even change the gospel to make it a prosperity gospel. I pray for you, you send me these checks. Like, really? Come on, people. But, you know, it just like, because they're only pursuing that. As long as you pay me, I preach. Really? And it's like, that's what we're talking about. You're not growing because you got thorns around the word of God choking the development. And then finally, Jesus talks about this good soil or fertile soil that we can say. He said, those with a noble heart. That word there, noble heart, is really honest heart. They hear, receive the word, and check this out, they retain it. And then they persevere, and thus they will bear fruit. These are the ones that they, at the end of the day, they become seasoned Christians, mature disciples of Jesus. And at the end, they produce a harvest. They are fruitful Christians. Today, we talked about in the Gospel of John, Jesus says that you prove yourself to be his disciples by being fruitful. If we don't produce fruit, it's almost like we're not showing God that we truly are his disciples. So you see, this the good soil, they're the ones who, they heard, they received it, they retain it, and ultimately they persevere in what they heard, and at the end of the day, they produce a crop. And then, think about what Jesus said, whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. Four different responses that Jesus talks about, and that was his audience, and that's the same audience that we have. Every time we proclaim the word of God, we have those responses people might have, and you wonder, why is it that people not get it? Sometimes you talk to people, and you show them the evidence, and you talk to them, and it's like nothing that you said penetrates them. And you wonder, it's like maybe it's just that they were like the path, it's just like they heard, but just it went out the other ear. Maybe they were rocks, it's just like it's still shallow, not they don't have deep roots. Or maybe just thorns, you know. But occasionally you will find a good soil, someone that says, you know what, I want to believe that, and I want to abide by it, I want to retain it. You see, the word of God, my friends, produces changes and transformation in our lives. I mean, so many examples that you and I perhaps know, people. You know, in the Bible, I mean, you hear the Apostle Paul, he was a murderer, and God changed his life drastically. People, I know my uncle used to be in trouble with the cops all the time. And for him to be preaching the gospel now, that's like, how did that happen? Because perhaps he just really heard with a noble heart and realized, wow, Jesus can transform my life if I let him. You know, so many people, like somebody said one time, I want to prove that Christianity is just wrong. It's a whole bunch of baloney. Don't believe that. His name is Lee Strobel, and now he's one of the greatest advocates of the Christian faith. From being an atheist to a missionary, I mean, who does that? Jesus can do it for you. Because he heard, I mean, he was investigating, doing his homework, and finally realized, you know, this is undeniable. It's amazing, the research he came across with. The word of God produces changes in our life. Those who listen to it, is represented by the types of soils that we have. Some just hear but don't receive it. Some receive it, but only for a while, as long as things go well in their lives. Some hear, receive it, but they let other things grow with the Word of God. And at the end of the day, the Word of God, the development that it can produce in you is choked. It's destroyed. And those Christians never get to mature. There's some who hear, receive, perceive, retain, and also at the end of the day, they persevere, and therefore they produce a harvest. You know why it is that the good soil produced a harvest? Because they just did not hear with their ears. They heard with their hearts. You know, like we use analogy all the time. You say, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Who says the heart has eyes? But what you're saying with us, open the eyes of my heart. You say, Lord, I want to see you from not just here, but from my inner being, from my soul. I want to see you. So people that get to develop into mature disciples, seasoned disciples, they hear the word, but at the end of the day, they hear not just with their ears. That's what Jesus said, whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. Hear not just with the ears, but hear from the heart. Get that over there in your heart. It's almost like you're really paying close attention, and the mind, the heart combined, and now you really get to understand what Jesus is talking about, and then transformation definitely is going to happen. Because it's always a matter of the heart when it comes to following God and even worship. It's always a matter of the heart. I want us to get to hear the Word of God, not just from a superficial level, but just from our heart. That we just soul. You know how it is, like sometimes people pay attention when you can see that it's like soul and mind, the whole body, even the expressions and mannerisms, it's like they're really zero in into what is being said. But there are others that, you know, they just get distracted here and there. And, you know, just like, but you can tell those ones that, man, hold on, don't bother me. I want to pay attention to what is going on. I want to hear, not just through my ears, but through my mind, my intellect, and my heart. This is what it means when God said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. It's almost like you want to love God with everything that you are, body, soul, mind. I mean, even your passions, your desire, everything. Now listen to his word the same way. Through your heart. My friends, the productivity of God's word in you is going to depend upon the receptivity. I want to say that again. The productivity of God's word in you, how productive it will become, it will depend upon how receptive you are. How will you receive it? Your receptivity. How will you receive it and retain it? If you don't retain and receive it very well, but then the Word of God is not produce any changes in you. You're not going to see any, you're not going to experience any transformation because you're not receiving it well. It will produce a lot of things depending how well you receive it. This is what happened to Jesus. Jesus was preaching. We're told that at the beginning of the verse. He was going from town to town proclaiming, preaching the good news of the kingdom. People gathered around and he told them a parable. They had no idea what he was doing really. The parable saying, this is how you guys listen to me. Some of you are just like the path. Some of you are just like the rock. Some of you are thorns. But there's some that are really good soil. And they will hear. And at the end of the day, they will perceive it and retain it because they heard, not just with their ears, but they heard from their heart. They put their heart to it. Now you see in the parable, the seed is the word of God. The soils represent what? Our hearts. Now who's the farmer? Anybody? Thank you. Jesus is the farmer, the one who's sowing. And who else is the farmer? I just became one right now. I just scattered a whole bunch of seed. I just sown. God, see, so Jesus is the sower or the farmer in the story, and anybody else who proclaims the word of God, at that moment when you're proclaiming it, you're scattering seed. And guess what? Be ready because you're going to have the same audience that Jesus had. You're going to have it. The path, the rocks, the thorns, and the good soil. Don't get disheartened or discouraged when people don't listen to you because just pay attention. Perhaps they're just the path still. They just hear, but Satan just takes away what they get. They might hear, believe for a while, and later on, many years, like, what happened? Where are you? Oh, you know, just, they were the rocks. They hear, they believe for a while, they're there, but, you know, there are other things competing with the Word of God. It's almost, the Word of God is not even a priority in my life right now, and it's the productivity, so I get choked up. But there will be ones that you say, like, man, I can see that you're growing because you're not just hearing God and the Word from with your ears, you're hearing with your heart. The seed is the Word of God, and anyone who proclaims it is a farmer. I just sown the seed this morning. And I wonder how you will perceive it. I don't have anything to say, but just what Jesus said, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear.